Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. My name's Wendy, and this podcast will help you invest in houses of multiple occupation. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the HMO Success Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm delighted to be here to help you grow a successful HMO business. In this launch episode, I'll be discussing the first steps to setting up your business so you're compliant and legal and that you build a solid foundation for your HMO portfolio. Today, I want to talk a little bit about setting up your HMO business. One of the things which continues to surprise me, I suppose, is the fact that people have set up HMO businesses, over the last few years and still perhaps don't have everything they really need to make that business compliant with the law. And that's, of course, a risk. You need to make sure that your business is compliant and that you are doing everything that you should be doing in line with the law. Later on this year, there's going to be more rules and regulations coming out for letting agents. So we need to keep staying ahead of the government guidance. We need to make sure we're ahead of the trend. We're future-proofing our businesses. And this is something which I cover on my two-day event, which we've got coming up at the end of May, which is very exciting, in much more detail. But today I just want to give you some headline areas to consider. You may already be running HMOs, and there might be some of these you've missed. So do make sure that you go through the checklist, which I'll be uploading after the video, and have a look at that. See if you've got any gaps in your business setup that maybe now's a great time to start to address. So we're looking at compliance with the law, but also some practical suggestions as well. There's lots to do, isn't there, when you're running a business or when you're setting up a business, and it can be really easy to forget some of those key things which will help your business move forward. It'll help you make progress, but it'll also get you better results because your business is set up correctly from the start. There's also, I think, an important part about mindset here. When we're talking about running a business and when we see ourselves as a business owner, doing things correctly and compliantly, I think it gives us a sense of responsibility about that business. So you might have gone through a bit of a kind of time with COVID-19 thinking, oh, can I be bothered to do HMOs? Is this what I really want to be doing? Whereas other people are thinking, I wish I'd done HMOs sooner. I regret not doing it earlier. Well, if you're in either of those groups, I think taking action now is the key to growing your wealth. If you want results from HMOs, if you want to make money from HMOs, you have to treat it like a business. This is not just a hobby, this is a business. So, what do we need to do to set up our business correctly? Well, first of all, when you're setting up a business, one of the first things you need to do is decide on a business name. And I think this is one of the hardest things. And I know a lot of people stumble at this very first point because they don't know what to call their business. So a few thoughts. Take a moment, take 10 minutes out of your busy schedule, out of your busy day, whether you're home educating your kids or, you know, watching something on Netflix. Don't do that. Take 10 minutes out of your day and brainstorm all the potential names that you could give your business. Just get them all down on a piece of paper. And then in your own mind, give them each a grading. Which one do you think is your favourite name? Once you've got those names on a piece of paper and your favourites, share them with a group of people. You could share them on the Facebook group. What do you think of these different names? Because other people will respond to your chosen name very differently. So you want to choose a name that reflects who you are, reflects your brand, reflects what you're doing, but also allows other people to understand that as well. So my HMO company is called Best Nest, and it started off as being called Rogers and Whittaker Large. Which one do you prefer? So obviously Best Nest won the day rather than Rogers and Whittaker Large, thankfully. And that's been the name that we've grown for the last 5 years. That's our brand name. And it says what we do. We offer the best nest. So it's homely and it's professional. However, the benefit that HMRC offers and also Companies House is that if you do decide to change your name, you can do that. So don't worry if you choose a name now, which is effectively a sort of interim name just to get you going. You can change that at a later date, which is good news. if you haven't, you're not quite settled on your brand name. Then you want to set up a business bank account. Now, currently, I'm hearing that business bank accounts are taking much longer to set up. So I've got a client who's been trying to set up an account with Starling, but it's been delayed because of COVID-19. And I think other businesses at the moment are, because of the business bounce back loan, it's taking them longer to set up business bank accounts. So if you're right in the beginning of your HMO journey and you haven't got a business account set up, you could start with a personal account, because that can often be sort of transmuted into a business account. But I would suggest that you want to get started with your business banking as soon as possible. Then, of course, you want to set up a limited company. Now, you can do this yourself, but there are some trip hazards along the way. You want to be a bit careful about this, because certain things, once they're set in stone, are harder to change. I would recommend you get the advice of an accountant to set up your limited company correctly for HMOs. That way you know you've got the correct SIC codes, SIC codes, which give your company the definition about what you're going to be doing. But also you get the right share allocations, and your memorandum and articles will be correct. So I would recommend that you use the services of an accountant who's done it before and knows what they're doing. And there are people on this group who will be able to offer advice and suggestions as to who you could use for that. Then you want to notify HMRC of your trading status. So you want to tell them that you've now set up a limited company, or what the details are, and they will ask for information. For example, when is your year end? Now, when you send your company registration documents to Companies House, this will populate into HMRC, and they will automatically send you a letter every year to say that they need your year-end accounts, and Companies House will ask for an annual update of details about who's managing the company and running the company and so on. So that will happen automatically, but it's a good idea for you to preempt that and get that up and running first of all. So that's really the kind of the key legal business setup that you need to be doing. Those are the first four things to do. Now, the next thing is insurance. You probably will need a broker for this. And again, on the Facebook group, there's a few brokers who will be able to offer their advice and assistance. So get some quotations for professional indemnity and public liability insurance. And also, if you need it, if you're going to be sourcing properties, or you might be doing a rent-to-rent, for example, you'll need client money protection insurance as well. Because that money, that rental income, or the sourcing fees that you might be making, will not be coming, that it's third-party money. And you need to demonstrate that you've got insurance, what's called client money protection insurance, to be able to cover you in the event of any difficulty. You should also register with the Property Ombudsman. Now, there's actually a couple of redress schemes out there. The PRS is the Property Redress Scheme. TPO is the Property Ombudsman Scheme. And either of those are absolutely fine. But you need to register with a Property Ombudsman so that if there is any difficulty, if anybody does take any issue with your business or the way you're running your business, you have got redress and recourse to a legal support system. Now, in terms of money management, a few other things that would be good for you to do. You may want to set up a client money account. Now, this does depend on the vision and the goals you have for your HMO business. If you are just going to be renting your own rooms out of your own properties, then you won't need a client money account. But if you're doing rent to rent, or you are, as I say, sourcing, or you're doing something where you're using or getting third party money into your account, you will need a client account. So make sure that you set that one up with your business, with your business banking. And you also need to register with the HMRC for anti-money laundering. And I'll put the link on the below the video so you can register for anti-money laundering. And I know a lot of this might seem like, oh dear, all these things you've got to do these days to set up a business, to set up a property business. The property industry has become more and more regulated. And as property businesses, we have to keep ahead of that. Whether we agree with it or we don't, it's something which is in our, you know, established in UK law now. Now, I've done a bit of a checklist, which I will update. I'll upload to the group, so you can use that as a checklist. And you don't need to do all of this on one day. You know, you might take a couple of days to get through this list, but I would recommend that you do. A, because it puts your business in the right legal framework, so you know you're running it legally and compliantly. But number two, if you are committed to making money out of HMOs, to getting results from HMOs, to expanding your business through HMOs and multi-lets and rent-to-rents and other strategies, then what you need is a properly operating business. So that's why this is valuable and necessary. Now we come on to a couple of nicer things, the bits that I enjoy more, which is to do with the marketing side. So once you've designed your business name, you've decided on your business name, you may decide that now's time to do a logo. And there are lots of design agencies out there that can do a great logo for you. We went to 99 Designs and it cost about £100, but they literally did give us 99 designs to choose from. And using all those designs that were created by a group of designers, we then put those choices to our audience and said, which design do you like best for our logo? This is a really good way to get other people's feedback. Just as you would do this on your name, do it on your logo too. I often see this on Facebook, people putting up, you know, four different designs to vote on, because you don't know what your audience, your intended clients, or people who you might be working with to raise funds from, what they're going to be responding to, what colours attract them, what message, what kind of image attracts them. So putting that out on Facebook and getting some votes, it's a bit scary, but you know, it's good because you get lots of really good feedback and it helps you to design that brand and that logo. You then want to register your domain name so that you can build a website, even if it's a one-page website. Nowadays, everybody needs to have a website for their business. So as well as having a Facebook page and Instagram and, you know, all the rest of it, all the other social media stuff, which is important, you do need to have a website, because that gives your business a sense of, you know, certainty, commitment, longevity. And that's what investors are looking for. And then you want to set up an email account. Your email account should have your domain name. I don't think it's terribly professional if you've got a business. So we've got business Best Nest. If I had an email which is wendy@gmail.com for that business, it just doesn't look quite set up correctly. In fact, this morning I got a couple of letters from people who want to do a rent-to-rents with me, which I get all the time. Some of them have a couple, these two people who've written to me, they don't have their domain name in their email address. So I'm wondering, how committed are they? How serious are they about this being a business? Because having your domain name as part of your email address tells other people, actually, you're committed to this business. You know, you're serious about it. So I'm wendy@bestnest.co.uk in my lettings and my HMO business. So we've used the domain. So use that. Use that. It's a really good way of, you know, making yourself look perhaps a little bit bigger, but a bit more professional. And then after that, you'll do things like setting up some letterheads and compliment slips and things like that, which you can just do on the PC. That's not too easy, not too difficult to do. Just use your logo. And if you're not, you know, sure about how to do that, there's some great services, Fiverr, People Per Hour. You know, these are great online tools that you can get the services of people who are very experienced and can create something for sort of almost next to nothing. Morning all, good to see you. Thanks for joining me today. And then finally, I just want to make a point about data. So nowadays we're all doing everything online, aren't we? Whether it's Facebook Lives or emails or Zoom calls. And a lot of the data that you collect on your tenants and on your investors and on clients that you're working with will be electronic. So you must register with the Information Commissioner Office to tell them that you're using and collecting data. And you need to have a GDPR statement to show how you're going to be using data. The good thing is the ICO, literally www.ico.org.uk, where you can register, it's really easy and simple to register. They've got templates for all of this stuff, so you can just download their templates and slightly adapt them for your business. And it mean, and I think it costs about £35 a year to register, and it means you are then covered by the Information Commissioner's Office for all that electronic data that you've got in your business. What you then need to do is to make sure that in terms of your operations, you are using that business, that data correctly. So in other words, you know, cleansing it every so often, doing a bit of a purge on your email list, making sure you're getting rid of people who've unsubscribed or people who don't want to hear from you anymore. And old tenant data, that needs to be deleted, so you don't keep it longer than is absolutely necessary. So those are really the key areas. I'll upload my checklist so that you can go through that and literally tick off what you need for your business. So initial business setup, legal money management, insurance, marketing, and data. And if you follow each of those steps and you do each of those five things, you will have a business which is compliant, is set up correctly, and you will have no worries moving forward that you are running and managing your business professionally. We're running an event on the 30th and 31st of May, which is going to be a 2-day live event. And we are, this is the first time that we've run it live, and I'm delighted about it. I can't wait. And we're doing it for just £600 plus VAT. You get the recordings and you get a free ticket to a live event later in the year. So this is going to be online, streamed live, 30th and 31st of May, and we share with you exactly how to get your business to the right standard, the right level, just with like these tips that I've shared with you today, but not just starting off. How do you now scale and grow? How do you now add to your portfolio? What do you do if you run out of money? These are all topics that we'll cover on our 2-day event. So if you'd like to know more, please get in touch. I'd love to help you further on your HMO journey. And that is it from me. Have a great afternoon and a lovely weekend. Speak to you all very soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.